Blake's editing job is a nightmare sometimes with my head explosions.
Yeah, it's what it is. Is it sonic brain goo? Me peeling sonic brain glue off of the clip. It's tedious, but somebody's got to do it.
Tough job.
Yeah, it's a fucked up job, but somebody's got
to
do it.
But you know, we got to get this podcast out so people can ignore it while they're listening to This American Life.
What up, world? Welcome to episode 92 of the Ameripodcast.
Heyo. I'm trying to think of a famous hockey player who had number 92, and I'm not doing well.
I can't think of anyone.
Yeah, who had number 92?
John's attempt to sabotage the podcast, zero. podcast win, number 92. Today is Thursday, August 8th, 6:30 p.m., 2019, for those of you listening in the future. Just the trio today. We got John Kelly and John Anderson in the house. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, just great.
You know, just like super looking forward to the topics we're about to discuss.
Yeah. Happy Thursday to you, Blake.
Yes. Yes. And I am your host, Blake Mannion, in the house. We are here to discuss briefly, just give recognition to the shootings and the victims that fell this past week in El Paso and Dayton, and just give a little update on the administration and send y'all on your way to have a merry little weekend. So who wants to kick it off? I think between the two.
yeah
on the depressing topic.
I mean,
between the two shootings, we unfortunately lost around 30 people in 48 hours. And we've had, 200-something shootings this year in this country now?
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, like, I'm sure that most people have heard details and casualty reports and terrible stories about heroism and the people we lost and whatever. And so maybe it would be beneficial for us to kind of like narrow in on some things and talk about them and maybe try and focus on some solutions. So number one, I think most clearly in Dayton, the shooter was able to kill how many people in 30 seconds? 10 people and injured 26 in 30 seconds. The reason he was able to do that is because he had a high-capacity 100-round magazine that no member of the military would ever think about carrying in the weapon that he was carrying in, because it's insane.
Right. Right.
And so it is really meaningful to have things like clip restrictions, because people have to reload. And so if you can only fire 10 shots and then you have to reload – in 30 seconds, you end up harming a lot less people. And if that last person saved was you or somebody you loved, I would think that you would be for clip reductions and restrictions. So that is a very easy, no-nonsense, logical thing that we can do to make this country safer.
Yeah, John, I agree, and I appreciate you taking the tactic to talk about solutions to it straight off the bat, because I feel like every fifth episode or sixth episode on this pod, we have to talk about gun violence, and we have to bring up again our views on just common sense, practical gun control, right? Because of the amount of times that we see mass shootings happen in the United States and the frequency that they happen. I would like to say that before I get into any more policy, that the political backlash, the social backlash that has occurred because of these are completely justified. And if you look at the type of rhetoric that both gunmen were into, whether it was the gunmen from in El Paso, who was had a manifesto that clearly used language, white nationalist language, clearly used anti-immigration language. Or you look at the history of the gunman in Ohio with his anti-immigrant, anti-woman stance. It's very troubling that these people have access to high power capacity firearms, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's access to it. If the person had a single loaded rifle, maybe he shoots two people, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it's not that. It's 100 round magazines, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And also, you know, red flag laws are meaningful, which is like if you exhibit something like if you're a domestic, if you've been charged of domestic violence, the police have the right and obligation to go in and take your guns at least temporarily.
Right.
And I would like to propose to the country, and this is something that was in the case for Dayton, Ohio, if you have a prepared rape list, you shouldn't own guns.
Yeah, he had a rape and murder list. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know? So you shouldn't own guns if you have something like that. Like, I think that that is pretty common sense.
And I agree, and I think that most gun owners are actually on the common sense side of it. 90% of Americans want background checks. Right.
Yeah.
And the majority of Americans want smaller magazines. They want more comprehensive background checks. And it's stuff that's not being passed. But, you know, I agree. It's very extreme cases. Right. Most gun owners are responsible gun owners. They're not going to sit around and make rape and kill lists. Right. But we can agree as a society that person's a dangerous individual.
100%. And unfortunately, because of our history, we say gun owners and the NRA synonymously.
Yeah.
But we should no longer do that because the NRA very obviously does not represent gun owners because gun owners are in favor of common sense legislation. They represent gun manufacturers. They are part of the swamp. They are part of the lobby. They're just like the oil lobby or the pharmaceutical lobby or anything like that. It is a lobby designed to perpetuate bad behavior among Americans because it's profitable.
Absolutely.
And so we should try and, as best we can, drive that wedge between the NRA, which is a corrupt lobbyist organization, and gun owners, of like which I am one. But I am also for a whole litany of common sense gun reform because, you know, children shouldn't be murdered in their schools. I think that's fairly
people simple. People should be allowed to go to the Walmart and not be hunted by people who don't like their ethnicity.
Yeah, and so let's talk about solutions for...
Real fast, can I just read a quote from
NPR
about the gun laws in the country?
Mm-hmm.
So this is from NPR.org on a recent article they published. But under U.S. law, the only part of a gun that's technically considered a firearm and must be shipped to a licensed firearm dealer is the lower receiver. That's the shell-like piece that houses the trigger and bears the marker's serial number. Everything else, from the barrel to the firing mechanism, can be easily bought directly online or in a store. And this, they say again in quotations, is a perfect example of how our federal gun laws now have been so convoluted and weakened that we can't determine basic components and what's what in firearms anymore.
That's on the NRA's
website. Fascinating. Wow. No, NPR.
Oh, NPR. I thought you said this was on the NRA's website. I was like, wait, no, what? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no.
Yo, no, that's 100% true. 100% true. Yeah.
And that's a trope that Second Amendment folks like to trot out, which is like, oh, yeah, you want to try and regulate AR-15s? You don't even know what the fucking AR-15 is. It's like, you know what? We can knock some percentage of them off the market, and that's gonna fucking save lives, and so get off my nuts about that. That to me, like, any argument that is framed around we cannot reach 100% solutions and so therefore why try?
Right.
I cannot caution that argument on any subject. It drives me absolutely insane. Yeah. It is not an argument to do nothing.
Yeah.
So we should at least try. There is low-hanging fruit. It's pretty obvious, such as, you know, 100-round magazines. That's pretty fucking easy. We can start there and go to the more complicated shit.
Yeah, I mean, if just looking at this gun that this guy had in Ohio, it's just insane. The barrel that he has. And it looks like it's a total modification job, you
Yeah,
know?
I'm
And these are
sure.
full-size rifle bullets in this thing. And they said it's so short, it's technically classified as a pistol.
Wow.
Right. And I mean, but I think you got to think about it in terms of the rhetoric that's produced by the NRA and by people who support no restrictions on the Second Amendment whatsoever, which is that basically you should have a gun in this country so you can stop tyranny from happening. And when you think about what that truly means in terms of stopping tyranny, it is a whole spectrum of, I think, ideas by different people meaning different things, right? That could mean a corrupt government. It could mean a corrupt person on your street. If your personal freedom's being taken over, you have the right to stop tyranny in your own life from happening. That's the invasion on the soil type of idea.
I find that argument to be
It
laughable.
is. It's completely laughable. I agree.
Yes. For the personal stuff, like when I hear I want to be protected from tyranny, I hear I want to be protected from the federal government. I think
I
home
hear I want
invasion
to be
and.
protected from things I don't like. If I immediately look at it and don't
Right.
like it, I shouldn't have to put up with it.
Right. And so I'm just going to talk about the government portion of that because I hear that more commonly talked about as like personal protection and home invasion and things like that. So for the tyranny side, I think it's hilarious because it's like, all right, so let me get this straight. You're going to take your AR-15 and you're going to shoot down a Predator drone with it. Or no, wait. You're going to go up against an Abrams tank with your fucking AR-15. And so then it's like, okay, well, if you don't have your AR-15, but you have your hunting rifle, what is the marginal difference between the two? The correct answer, if you have any kind of military understanding, is basically zero. And in the meantime, we can, stop kids from being murdered in their school. And if you want to go off and fight the fucking revolution, use your 30-06 hunting rifle, which honestly is going to be more effective than your goddamn AR-15 because they're going to be able to blow your fucking shit up with a nuclear bomb. Like, what are you doing, you stupid fantasy-driven goddamn Rambo pieces of shit. It makes no
I mean,
sense.
all the state militias that you've seen popped up in many states around the country that firmly believe that they're getting together with their AR-15s in the woods and running their drills on the weekend so they can stop the federal government from taking their guns. You know what the federal government is? The greatest army on the face of the planet. You really think you're going to stop the U.S. Army if they decide to invade, I don't know, backfuck Georgia? You're not. One, you're not going to do it. You're going to be dust, smoldering dust on the side of the road. And you could spend your
Have
time
you?
doing so much better things.
Yeah. It's like,
I
I don't
don't
know
know.
if you've ever heard of cruise missiles or B-52s, but like, they're going to be hard to take down with your fucking AR-15. Sorry.
I mean, here's my two cents is everyone's batshit crazy here. You don't want anything to do with this. You want to stay far away from this place.
You mean America? Yeah, that's and I know we've talked about this on the pod, but that's why I think it's hilarious when people are afraid that the United States is going to get invaded. Because you're like, you can take away the entire US government, and there's no way any other country could ever take us over because we have more guns than people owned privately. Like, bring it on, motherfuckers. Let's do this. There's 0% chance enough of you are going to be able to get across the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean to be able to do this. Like, welcome to Harlem, motherfuckers.
But again, to bring back the somber tone, which I think is needed for, a discussion like this too, is that it's a complete tragedy and one that is completely avoidable. Well, not completely avoidable, I shouldn't say that. But there are steps that can be taken to help avoid things from happening like this in the future. I was actually impressed. I read something this afternoon. I didn't have a chance to look totally into it, but it sounded like at least there might be discussion on the Senate floor about it. It sounded like McConnell was at least coming out and saying, we're going to at least have a discussion about this, which is leaps and bounds compared to what it was 3 years ago, 5 years ago with McConnell.
Well,
so,
you know why I think he's saying that? There's a little more, I've noticed a little more circulation in the news that Republicans aren't looking very good with the new generation that's going to be voting.
No shit, millennials don't like the old white Republican regime. Oh wow, that's weird. Never would have thought that. Yeah, weird.
And not millennials, but the new generation that's come now since millennials. But you know, gun control is a big issue with them, and so I could see McConnell trying to score some points for the Republican Party and get some votes. Just you know. They're trying to do something with that.
Yeah, that's cheap fair. Move, I mean, it could be a total tip of the hat and nothing more than just, I know that the nation is really, really riled up about this with how quickly both of the last two mass shootings happened and how much of a public spectacle it was for both of them. So I'll at least just give a tip of the hat and say, of course we're going to discuss it and then do nothing about it. That'd be classic Mitch McConnell too. Yeah, so who knows?
Yeah. I would be willing to put lots of American dollars on that happening.
Yeah. I was trying to be positive about it, but yeah, I fall into that camp as well.
Yeah, no, that is a tactical maneuver, trying to get through a news cycle or two so that we can move on to the next tragedy or distraction that happens in this country and we'll forget about it. And then they can go on to the next thing. The thing that is going to change gun laws in the United States is electing Democrats.
Yeah.
That
100%.
Is what is going to do it. And we are boned until 2020. I will be totally fucking shocked and super, super happy about being wrong if there is any kind of meaningful gun legislation at all on the federal level, but good luck.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's just not going to pass the Senate is what it is. No. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if between now and the election, you know, next fall that there is, like two or three major gun legislation that Democrats write and tout from the House and pass it.
They already passed it. Right. They already did.
But it'll be shot down. I wouldn't be surprised if they rewrite it, they put it back on the table, they continue to do it between now and 2020. Every time it goes to the Senate, just to keep pushing it up and saying, look, it's those guys in the Senate that don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
I mean, I would. If I was a representative, as soon as it was voted down in the Senate, I'd be like, all right, I'll change two words and I'll put it back on the House floor again to vote.
Right.
I would just keep
just
doing it over and over,
this
and over and
over
again.
And over again. Yeah. Yep.
Well, moving on to other things that might become an issue for these Republicans moving forward, what about these ICE raids that have been happening? I mean, we have not only mass deportations happening, but now it looks like people, at least one gentleman, who has died from this.
Yeah, I saw those.
That's the danger of like sending people back to dangerous places or sending people back to places they don't know because they've been here since they were, you know, before they could talk.
Yeah, so, just because of their name and the color of their skin.
Yeah. Also, a really bad look for the United States and for the United States government and the leaders thereof is just leaving kids on the sidewalk crying while you deport their parents.
Yeah.
That's not a great look.
Yeah. Or any of the number of human rights abuses that are happening along the border, separating children from parents in general, or abusing kids and parents at the same time. So,
there's a good solution here, to, you know, how do we deal with the border, which is you make it less of a border. You greatly expand work permits. You make it so that it's much easier to immigrate to the United States, and we don't have all of these problems. We didn't have these problems when the border was more porous because people could work here seasonally. And that's a lot of what we're seeing here. Additionally, there is no other solution. There's one of two things that are going to happen. Either some percentage of the 11 million people who are here illegally are going to be here forever, or we're going to deport 11 million people. And that would require the mobilization of the National Guard, very likely.
Yeah.
What happens when they don't want to go and you're tearing kids away? Yeah. What happens when somebody opens fire?
I don't want to go down that road because we're talking exactly. hypotheticals. That's Nazi so, Germany type of taking yes. people out of their so homes, shooting them in the streets being, potentially.
Yes. So my point being that deporting 11 million people is essentially impossible. Which means that there will have to be some kind of path to citizenship or some kind of path to legalizing these people, bringing them out of the shadows, making them, you know, pay back taxes or a fine or something like that, and then let them continue being integral parts of American society, of which they are. Our economy would collapse without these people. They keep us above replacement level in terms of demographics. Absolutely. They're incredibly important. Oh, and by the way, they enrich our culture both spiritually and intellectually. Everybody wins eventually, and also it makes us look really good because we're bringing in asylum seekers, which is the city on the hill that Reagan talks about right. talked about all fucking time.
And depending on the situation, they might be paying their taxes.
Yeah, in some ways they do pay taxes. They pay into Social Security.
Yeah. That, it's exactly what I was going to say. All you aging white Republicans who complain that your Medicare costs are too high or that you can't afford stuff, guess what?
Good,
those
exactly.
immigrants are helping pay for you.
They're helping pay for your Social Security. So check this out. I want to also mention something else for people to think about. And I actually heard this originally. I think it was on like a NPR podcast special last year. On immigration and certain cities and certain states in the country that are home to higher populations of immigrants, and some like specific businesses house these people, but they make up like a significant number of the workforce is what this podcast episode was about, and it was fascinating. I wish I remembered it. I would tell everybody to go listen to it because it was great, but. This article in NPR right now that was released just on the 7th, it's talking about the raids in Mississippi and how they arrested over 680 different people, specifically in people working in food processing plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the issues that they mentioned in this podcast was when you go into a city like this or a part of a state, and you remove that amount of people, that population, you can collapse that city.
Absolutely. It's already a very rural.
Was it This American Life?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
maybe.
I'm pretty sure I've listened to this episode before. Let me see if I can find it.
But what happens is you remove those people from one of the main businesses in the community that supplies income for people to rent properties, spend money at the grocery stores,
they're vital parts of the local economy. Vital parts
of the local economy.
They keep dollars besides the ones that they send out back to their family. They still put and pump a bunch of money back into
and
the
so
local
when
economy.
You when you do this, you're literally you're it's it makes me really wonder who's calling the shots on this shit, because this is how you watch a small economy collapse. And I kid you not, if they continued to do this, I would not be surprised if we saw some reports in the near future of issues with those local economies. Because these are pretty big numbers, and they're going to hit that community real hard.
So the episode Blake was talking about is the podcast is called This American Life, which is one of my favorite podcasts. It's probably like one of the premier podcasts.
Oh, it's great. Listeners, listen sometime. If you haven't,
seriously,
give it a listen.
If you haven't, turn off this piece of shit podcast and go listen to that one because it's significantly better. Anyways, they have episode 6.
Take anything
six,
away from this.
Yeah, if you take anything away, go listen to This American Life. if you only have one podcast to listen to per week, it's not this one. So it's episode number 673. The name of it is called Left Behind. It is really, really, really worth the listen to because it goes into detail about, like Blake said, what something like this does to a small community in America, and it matters a lot. There's a lot of second and third order effects about these things that negatively affect everybody in the community, every single person in the community. Nobody wins when this kind of thing happens. No. And so we have to find a better way of doing this. We have to. There are better ways of doing this.
It's your tax dollars paying for the raids.
Yeah, it's your tax dollars to go in and destroy these communities and make their economies worse.
Yeah.
Making America great again.
And I mean, what you hear on the other side is a lot about law and order, right? You're a lot about the legality, about the immigration system, which is broken in general. So really talking about the legality of it is a murky thing at best. But what you also hear a lot of is the explanations for taking, say, 600 people away and deporting them is that now there's jobs in that community again for hardworking white people, right? You hear that and you're like, no, there's not 600 white people to fill those jobs in that rural area of Mississippi.
Well, and then in like two paragraphs down in that speech, they talk about how low the unemployment rate is. And you're like, no, bro, you don't get both.
Yeah, you can't have it both.
You can either talk about how great the economy is, or you can talk about how we need to deport people for jobs for Americans, but you can't do both of those things because they're not logically consistent, but they do. Yeah. So anytime one of those things comes up, you can talk about the other one.
Agreed. Yep.
Every time you bring up a logical inconsistency, you make a person's head explode.
You make my head explode.
John's head has literally exploded 10 times already tonight, and we've only been talking to you guys for a half an hour and as a group for an hour, so that's pretty impressive.
Blake's editing job is a nightmare sometimes with my head explosions.
Yeah, it's what it is. Is it sonic brain goo? Me peeling sonic brain glue off of the clip. It's tedious, but somebody's got to do it.
Tough job.
Yeah, it's a fucked up job, but somebody's got
to
do it.
But you know, we got to get this podcast out so people can ignore it while they're listening to This American Life.
Well, you guys have anything else for this evening? Anything big hit you in the week before we sign up?
I do. Yeah, no, I got one. I Googled the greatest hockey players by number, and Rick Tocchet is the answer we were looking for number 92.
Rick Tocchet.
It was Rick Tocchet.
Assistant
man.
Coach with course. The Coyotes. Of course. Now?
No idea who that is.
Yep. Coached the Coyotes. He played for the Penguins, the Capitals, the Coyotes, and the Flyers.
He was a mean guy in the league, man.
Yeah. He was mean. But he was one of those fighters who was also smart. Like, I was listening to George Paris today talking.
All right.
I'm going to have to charge you guys. I'm going to have to charge you guys a 1% royalty on your hockey podcast when you actually launch it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is this not the content that everybody craves?
It's nothing like Gatorade, if that's what you mean.
Gatorade.
On that note, everybody, thanks for listening. Give us a like. Send the episode to a friend. Share it with your family. Or maybe don't. Maybe it will cause trouble. Maybe.
No, send it to your Republican uncle who sends you emails. Every time he sends you one of those fucking, like, forwarded regarding, you know, Obama's birth certificate emails or whatever, send him back one of our podcasts.
If you are so courageous. Otherwise, it's totally fine to cuddle up under a blanket, hide away from the world, and enjoy this podcast to save your sanity.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. That too.
Enjoy your life. Listen to some music. Listen to
vote us. Vote 2020.
Vote.
Godspeed, everybody.
Kelly, what were you trying to say? Do you want to get it in?
No.
Yeah, well, no.
I mean,
no.
All I was going to say was that just, you know, try to enjoy the things in life that you could actually enjoy. But
while you got time to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should get that in.
It's all good. It's all good.